Well, I want to welcome you again to this week's lesson. Last week's title was called Truth is a Person. And of course, that's based on Jesus saying about himself, I am the truth. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And we're still on the subject of truth. We've had several lessons recently with truth in the title. And it's going to be the same today, because today I feel like the Lord would have us, He wants us to understand the truth about authority, and that's going to be our title today, the truth about authority. Now we're going to be looking at some verses here today. This is not really an intense Bible study. It seems to me what He's doing is bringing together a lot of the teachings, understandings that we've received over the years, and He's putting them together in a way that we can function in this revival. And at this point, I hate to say this revival that's coming. In a way, it still is, but I actually believe we're actually already in the edge waters of it. Anyway, I can't do too much there. But the Lord has told us this revival is going to be even greater than the book of Acts. He said, we're going to see things that no human has ever seen before. Well, humans have seen a lot, you know, all the way from the Old Testament to the, you know, the Red Sea parting, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and all the plagues of Egypt and the water coming out of the rock. We could just go on and on. People raised from the dead, on and on. And then, of course, when Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and so many, you know, man walking on water. Yet God, by His Spirit, has told us that in these last days, this revival, we're going to see things that man has never seen before. It's going to be greater even than the book of Acts, and it's going to be worldwide. Worldwide. My, what a time to be alive. I know in many ways the news, I mean, if dear Lord, don't make your steady diet be the news, you'll get so discouraged you'll just want to throw your hands up and quit. Let the Holy Spirit feed you the Word of God. Have a steady diet of the Word and spend a lot of time in prayer, because there's news from heaven that is really good. Okay, I got to get into the lesson. The question has always been, who will rule the world? Who will rule the world? Will it be the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness? See, Satan, he wanted to rule even while he was in heaven. And we've had lessons on this, and we've studied it from the Old Testament where, yeah, I will exalt. He's going to exalt himself above the throne of God. Dear Lord, talk about pride. What's amazing to me, though, is that he was able to get a third of the angels to agree with him and join him, and there was some kind of a warfare, a rebellion in heaven. But see, it's never been an issue of power. I mean, he was cast out of heaven along with those angels that went with him. Just poof. I don't know. I don't really know, but Satan is a created being. He's a fallen angel. God created him. By definition, the creator is more powerful than the createe. It's not an issue of power. It never has been, really. It's an issue of authority. Who will rule? Well, Satan got kicked out of heaven, so he knows he can't rule there. Well, so now he's on planet Earth, and he wants to rule here. But God didn't give him authority over the earth. He gave mankind authority over the earth. And you can go all the way back to Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And after God created everything, and then he made man, and he was very good. God was really pleased with his creation. And he said, let them have dominion. Let them have dominion, meaning mankind. So now man is going to rule the world. And that's so. Satan, he's going, well, if I can't rule in heaven, I'm going to at least rule here. So man, he decided he was going to try and rule planet Earth. But did you notice he didn't come against Adam or Eve with some kind of angelic power. He didn't, you know, he's a fallen angel, but he still had power. But he didn't come against them with that power. Why? He had no authority. Satan had no authority over Adam and Eve before they fell. The only power that he could use was the power of deception. The power of deception. And that's what he used against Eve. And he came, when I say deception, what I mean specifically is the being deceived about the Word of God. He's still doing the same thing today. The same question. Hath God said? That's what he approached Eve with. Hath God said? Right away, he comes against the Word of God. No matter what God says, Satan challenges that. Well, you know the story. We're not going to focus on that today, but it was through deception, not some kind of immense angelic power, you know, and lightning beams coming from his fingertips or anything like that. No, deception. And you notice he's still pretty good at it today. I didn't look the verse up, but Paul was concerned that they would fall to deception, you know, the same way that Eve did, and be moved away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Well, it does get to be simple when you really understand it, and that's part of what these lessons are about. But the only power that he used was deception. And only after Eve was deceived, and then she got Adam to join with her in that deception, where Adam himself ate of the forbidden fruit, only, and they fell. Once they ate it, just exactly like God said, the same day, they didn't die physically. Physically, they didn't die for some 900 years, you know, and they were some 900 years old. But spiritually, they died. God had said, the same day that you eat thereof, you'll surely die. Satan had said, you'll not surely die. There it is. Deception. Well, only then, see, when and we've taught on this extensively in the last, even the last few weeks, it was really high treason. Adam was standing right there when Eve ate the forbidden fruit. He watched, because God had said you'll die, Satan said you'll not die. He was watching. And when Eve ate the fruit, she didn't fall down physically dead. Adam had no way to perceive spiritual death, I don't think. Don't know about that for sure. But anyway, Adam chose based on his five physical senses. I mean, there she is. She's as beautiful as ever. I can touch her. I can smell her. I can hear her telling me to eat the apple. She's right there. Doesn't look, by all appearances, it does not appear that she died when she ate the fruit. So Adam, he makes himself like a judge in a way. Talk about pride. He is going to decide what truth is. God said you'll die. Satan, the serpent said you'll not die. Adam decides to make his five physical senses and his own mind the judge. The evidence tells me she did not die. Therefore, God must not be telling me the truth. This serpent is telling me the truth. I will not die. And so he ate the forbidden fruit. And of course he died when he did, just exactly like God said. But for today's lesson, when that happened, when he was bowing the knee to the serpent, you are the truth teller. I bow my allegiance to you. And when he did that, the authority that he had went from him to the one he bowed to. The one you obey, the one you bow to, is the one that has the authority. You are submitting yourself under that person. So what happened at the fall is the authority that God gave mankind, and I'm going to say humans, okay, Adam and Eve, the authority that God intended for Adam and Eve to have over this planet. when you bow the knee, when Adam bowed the knee and believed the serpent instead of God, that authority, he lost that authority. And Satan's been walking in that authority ever since. That's why he's called the God of this world. Anyway, there's so many lessons we could teach, but I want to stay on track because today we're going to talk about the truth about authority. Well, that's how mankind lost it. That's how mankind lost it. Jesus came to get it back. And he had to get it back as a human, not as God. Man lost the authority. Man had to get it back. Turn with me to Matthew 28:18. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, and the King James, it says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It's unfortunate that the King, I love the King James, you know I do, but it's unfortunate here that the King James translated that Greek word as power, because it's not power in the sense that we normally think of it. See, there's two different Greek words translated power in the King James Bible in the New Testament. But one of them, and the one that's in this verse, is exousia. And exousia means authority. It means the right to use the power. Okay, it's authority. The other one is dunamis, and that's where we get our word dynamite from. That's talking about real power. But in this verse, when he says all power is given unto me, the Greek word is exousia, not dunamis. So what he's really saying is all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus, this glorified, this God, this raised from the dead, notice this is Matthew 28. This raised from the dead Jesus is telling them all authority is in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. Let me say it a little differently. Satan has no authority anymore. All authority has been given unto me. Now, he always had it in heaven, but now he has it in heaven and in the earth. Let's say it another way. The authority that God originally gave to humans that was lost by the fall of Adam has now been regained by another human. Don't send me no letters. I know he's God in the flesh. But another human, the God-man, Jesus Christ. This God-man is not even on earth anymore. He is glorified now and seated at the right hand of the Father. Now listen, he is the head of mankind. There is no possibility that the head of mankind will ever lose that authority again. Can't be lost. We'll get more into that in a minute. Can't be lost. We'll say, well, that's great for him. It's wonderful that he has all this authority. Oh, we have better news than that. Go to Luke chapter 10, and let's look at verse 19. We're talking about the truth about authority now. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Behold, I give unto you, I'm going to read it just like the King James again. I love the King James, but it didn't do us any favor the way it translated these Greek words. In the King James, it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now here we have power in this verse twice, but it's really those two different Greek words. The first time when it says, behold, I give unto you power, the Greek word there is exousia, and it means authority. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. You think he's talking about bugs? He's talking about demons here. He's using a allegory or to tread on serpents. The original in the garden, what was it? A serpent. He's talking to types. He's given us the authority over all the demons and over all the power. Now, that is dunamis there. All the power, all of the dunamis of the enemy. Who's the enemy? That's Satan and all of his minions. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Here's the truth about authority. Jesus not only has that authority, he has given that authority back to us. The head of the new species. So you've got to remember all of these teachings that we've been teaching for so long. Jesus is the head of the new species. He is from the dead species of Adam. Those that believe in Jesus and call upon his name, they get rebirthed, reborn. Jesus is now the Adam. He is the progenitor of a whole new species called the children of God. That's, if you're a believer, that's you. And not only does the head of this new species have authority, he has given that authority unto us. Believers have, if we know the truth about it, believers have authority over all the power of the enemy. We have authority. See, it's like Jesus came to show us this. When you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he finds where the enemy has done terrible things, caused all kinds of havoc to people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, blind people, he opens the blind eyes. I remember the woman that was bowed over, stooped over for so many years, 18 years, I think. And the woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And she straightened up. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, touched the hem of his garment. She's made healed. It's like he would find these captives. It reminds me of World War II when the Allied forces were going in and they'd find the concentration camps. And behind the gates of the barbed wire and electric wire of those concentration camps, they would find these prisoners that had been taken captive by the enemy. And boy, Jesus kicks the gates down and sets the captives free. And why? They had authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, it took a while to exercise it. That's a little different. But see, our power, our authority unleashes unlimited power. It's never been a power issue. Dear Lord, the power of a fallen angel compared to the power of the Creator, Almighty God. See, God the Holy Spirit is the one that's enforcing this authority. He is God. Y'all about power. When God speaks, the power of the Holy Spirit flings universes out. I mean, you know, galaxies. And it's amazing. I know it's Jesus who is he's the one that speaks the word, but still it's the Holy Spirit is the manifester of that word. It was the Holy Spirit that was brooding over the earth and over the waters in the very beginning. The Holy Spirit. So when God spoke, it's the Holy Spirit releasing that power. Well, that same power is, he's the same Holy Spirit's the one that releases the power when we speak with the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. The authority that Adam lost when he fell was regained by Jesus when he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. See, well, I thought it was at the resurrection or at the cross. Well, it was. But as we have taught before, see, Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, that since the baptism of John, the kingdom of God is preached. Since that day, since the day that John baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, the kingdom of God is preached. Why from that day? Well, because when See, even John the Baptist didn't know why Jesus wanted him to baptize him. He said, I need to be baptized by you, John says. But Jesus says, no, go ahead, baptize me. And so now I understand it. When Jesus was laid down in the water, see, baptism is a type of the grave. And what he's doing, he's making that visual vow to the Father. Father, I know why I'm here. When John lays me down in the water, that is my vow to you. I am going all the way to the cross. I'm going to do what you sent me to do. I'm going to die, just like you. I am the Lamb of God. My blood has to be shed. This is my vow to you. I am going all the way to death. But see, the other part of that vow, when John raises him up out of the water, that's Jesus' vow back to God, that he has faith in the Word. There's a promise in the Old Testament that says, you will not leave my soul in hell, neither shall my flesh see corruption. And to the Jew, corruption set in on the fourth day. That's why they said, when Jesus came back to Lazarus' sisters, one of them said to him, well, Lord, by now he stinketh. It was the fourth day. And so the reason it's worded that way, neither shall my flesh see corruption. Jesus is trusting the Father that he will be raised from the dead before the fourth day. And we know he was raised on the third day. It's just all intermingled so perfectly together. But God's looking on the heart of Jesus when he makes that vow, when he's baptized by John. And just like in the Old Testament, when Abraham raised the knife and he was going to plunge it into Isaac, God looked at his heart and considered it done. You don't have to actually kill him. I know you're going to do it. I count it as done from this day forward. He did the same thing with Jesus. When John baptized Jesus, God was looking on the heart of the man, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, he's really going to do it. I accept this as done. That's why the announcement was made that day, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And that's why that day the new king really was crowned, even though he wouldn't be actually crucified and then resurrected for a few more years. God counted it as done from that day. And that's why the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, because it was the anointing of the king. It was the anointing of the last Adam. It was the anointing that God originally intended for the first Adam to have, for mankind to have. Now, this Jesus of Nazareth, a human, had that dominion that the first Adam lost. And boy, now he had to overcome the devil in the wilderness. Why? He had to succeed where the first Adam failed. See? And it was a war again about the Word of God. And it's the same old thing, hath God said. Because now God says there, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, what does Satan do? If thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. It's the same thing he did in the garden. He's challenging God's word. If thou be the Son of God. And any action to prove that he is really, in a way, invalidating faith in what God had already said. It said, I don't have to do nothing. God said it, and that's the way it is. That's why Jesus only responded with the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. What if Adam had done that? Even after he saw Eve eat the fruit, whatever it was, and she didn't fall down dead, and she offers it to Adam, what if he would have said, it is written? Well, they didn't write. It is spoken. God has said. I don't care what if Adam would have said, I don't care what my five physical senses tell me. I don't care that it sure looks like you didn't die. God said, the day we eat thereof will surely die. And that's what he said. I am not going to eat of that fruit no matter what my five physical senses tell me. I've chosen to live by faith in God's word. See, and that's Matthew 4:4. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If Adam would have done that and refused to eat the forbidden fruit and stuck with the Word of God, we'd still be in the garden today. Whew. Relying on the five physical senses to determine what truth is was the way out of the garden, out of all the blessings of God. That's why faith in the Word of God, regardless of what your five physical senses tell you, is the only way back in. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And faith must believe that God is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Oh, so many lessons. Okay. Let me read this sentence again. The authority that Adam lost when he fell was regained by Jesus when he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. And that's from that day, once he won over the devil, now he's been baptized, the Holy Spirit's come upon him, he was led by the Spirit into this battle with the devil out in the wilderness. But see, the last Adam, he succeeded where the first Adam failed. Boy, from that moment on, he is like the Allied forces going into, you know, Europe at the end of the war. And when he finds captives that have been tortured and held captive by the enemy, he sets the captives free. Man, by the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit and the authority that he has now, he, every time the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, devils are cast out. He takes dominion over even the natural earth. He walks on the water. He stops storms. He speaks to trees and they die. We have all of this authority is His. And then He, in Luke 10:19, He gives us power over all the power of the enemy. Let's read it one more time. This time I'm going to say it using the proper translation of the Greek words. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on all the demons and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Whew. Sometimes I'll just sit here and I'll just try and think on these things. And I think about Jesus now. I understand that He is a human. We're going to get to it here in a minute. But it's so important. God couldn't do this for us as God. He had to become a human. A human was the one that lost the authority, and a human had to regain the authority. That is so important for us to understand. Legally, God couldn't do it for man. So the only answer to that, God had to become a man Himself, and He had to win this war as the last Adam. Oh my goodness. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, the authority over this planet is now back in the hands of a human. It is the God-man Jesus, who is glorified and seated at the right hand of the Father. This glorified God-man human is the head of this new creation. He is the head of this new species. Now listen, there is no possibility. Listen to this. There is no possibility of mankind ever losing that authority again. Because Jesus is not going to sin. Jesus is not going to rebel against the Father. Jesus is not even on this planet and not wearing a fallen flesh to even be tempted anymore. There is no possibility. The head of our man, the head of our species, the children of God, is glorified and seated at the right hand of the Father. He is the one with the authority, and there is no possibility of mankind losing that authority again. Jesus has it. And He gives it to us. What, you know what matters now? Faith in that truth. Faith in the name of Jesus. Let's look at this in turn over to Acts chapter 3. I know this is very familiar, but it's time to walk in this and not just hear about this. This is way more than just a nice Sunday school lesson. This is the authority that we have to walk in. See, it really blesses me to know that, I don't tell anybody this. Gary isn't perfect. And I got a pretty good suspicion you're not either. When I think of how many times a day that I mess up in different ways. See, the good news is I can't lose this authority. What I mean is I can't, if the authority doesn't really reside in me, the authority resides in Him. Jesus is the head of our species, and He is the one with the authority. Can I mess up? Oh, absolutely. But you know what? Thank God for 1 John 1:9. And I can repent. I can be washed in the blood. I can be restored to fellowship. And I have access to that authority again. If He told us to forgive 70 times 7, don't you reckon He'll do that for you? And I'm pretty sure He meant 70 times 7 in a day. But anyway, that's another lesson. Acts chapter 3. We're going to read quite a bit here now. It says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, now get this, lame from his mother's womb. I love to make the point. This is a birth defect. See, this is a birth defect. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms, he begged, of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, he was asking for money, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave unto them, And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Now here it is. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand, the right hand, and lifted him up. Oh, I love. And immediately, oh God, we're looking forward to a lot of immediatelys. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Now, this is a man with a birth defect. We're not given much of a picture of what he looked like, but I know this. If the man is a grown adult and he's never walked, what did those legs look like? I bet they were thin. I bet they looked like little bird legs. He's never walked. And immediately, I don't know what happened visually, but I know this, he received strength and he received it immediately. And this man who could never walk and probably still had little bird legs, suddenly, somehow, he strengthened. I don't know whether muscles just suddenly grew on him or what. But anyway, he's not just stand up, leaping, jumping, and praising God. And walked with them and entered into the temple. Walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man was healed, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now here it is, verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Let that sink in. His name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. We all know Peter was not a perfect man. In fact, if you'll study it out, you'll find out it wasn't until later in the book of Acts, when Peter was on the rooftop and fell into a trance, and he saw in a vision that a sheet was let down, and there was these unclean animals in the sheet, and he heard a voice saying, "Rise, kill and eat." "No, Lord, nothing unclean." And the whole point of that was to teach him that it was time for the Gentiles to be saved. That didn't happen until after this event, several years after this event. What does that tell you? See, at the day that this lame man was healed, Peter still thought only Jews could be saved. He didn't have perfect doctrine. He wasn't perfect yet. He didn't understand everything. It wasn't by his own power somehow. We never hear about any of the apostles getting drunk in the bars or anything like that. But it wasn't his own holiness. He said, "No. You want to know the truth? Here's the truth about authority." Notice they said, "By what name or by what power?" You know. He said, "You want to know the truth? It is his name." Talking about Jesus. "It is his name, through faith in his name, that this man is made strong." Peter simply believed what Jesus had said. All, going right back to our foundational verses, Matthew 28:18. Peter believed that all authority in heaven and in earth had been given unto Jesus. And Peter believed, according just like Luke 10:19 says, that Jesus had delegated, given, shared that authority with believers, so that now we have the authority of his name over serpents and over, let's say, over demonic forces and over all, I love that word all the power of the enemy. Peter believed that. It's that name, through faith in that name, that this man is made whole. Oh, if we can get the truth of this. The truth of it is, we have been born again. Jesus is our Adam. Jesus is the head of a new species of being that never existed on planet Earth before. We are the children of Almighty God through faith in the name of Jesus. The head of our species is seated at the right hand of the Father. He has been given all authority. What Adam lost, Jesus has regained. And he has all authority, both in heaven and in earth. And we have been given, he has shared with us, he has delegated us, he has given us that authority so that we can tread on all of these demons that keep people bound. See, now we're like the allied forces, just like Jesus was. It's our turn to come, and we see a captive, kick the gate down, set the captive free. That's why Jesus said in John 14:12, I believe it is, He says, the works that I do, those that believe in me, those that believe, the works that I do shall they do also, and even greater shall they do, because I go unto the Father. Well, if he'd have just stayed here, he would have just been the one, just the one, on planet Earth with the authority. But he has been raised from the dead and glorified now, and by his Spirit, he has been multiplied in all of us, and we have been given that authority that is in his name, but it requires faith. See, what does it, that verse, John 14:12, starts off, those that believe in me. And I'm seeing the Lord paint the picture again in my spirit. Let me see what time it is. Oh my goodness. I'm seeing it again. See, what does it mean to believe? When Adam is watching Eve eat the fruit, eat the forbidden fruit. Now, see, at the end of this, he has to make a choice on what he believes. Is God telling me the truth? Is God, let's say it another way, is God's word true? Or is what my five physical senses tell me true? What do I believe? So he watched. God had said, you'll die the same day you eat of it, you'll die. Satan had said, no, you won't die. Adam is watching. Eve eats the fruit, whatever it is, and she doesn't fall down physically dead. Now, we know that God's word is true. The day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. But God was talking about spiritual death. But Adam, in any event, Adam's just watching. Now, what does it mean to believe? Everything he saw, everything he could touch, I mean, he could touch her still. After she ate, she didn't fall down dead. She's still breathing. She's talking to him, telling him to eat. He can hear her voice. He could smell her, touch her. She's as beautiful as ever. Think about it. Now, what do you believe? What do you believe? See? And he had a choice to make. Do I believe the word of God? Because by all the evidence of my five physical senses, she didn't die. But God said, you'll die. But, see, what does it mean to believe? No matter what your five physical senses tell you, this is hard. This is where failure has been a lot, see? What do you believe? Well, we say we believe the Word of God. But sometimes to believe the Word of God, you're going to have to believe it no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what you touch, no matter what you smell. All the evidence says God's Word isn't true. But if you believe, you will act on God's Word and not on what your five physical senses tell you. I'm not going to eat it. I don't care what it looks like. I know that it looks like. All the evidence is telling me that God's word is not true. But it is written, or it is spoken. God said, I am going to stay with the word of God. And his action would have been, I will not eat the fruit of that tree. Boy, if he would have done that, history would be quite different. We'd still be in the garden. But listen, you're making your own history. I see in myself 1,000 times at least where I have made the same mistake as Adam. You get in a prayer line and the anointing is there. The name of Jesus is still the name of Jesus, and it still has all the authority it ever had. And so if you get prayed for, you know, I'm just using one example in Gary's life, and if you get prayed for in the name of Jesus, the power is there to be healed. But if my five physical senses tell me, oh, the pain is still there, that hurt, well, maybe it didn't work. Well, that is making the exact same mistake that Adam made. I'm choosing what I believe based on my five physical senses instead of the Word of God. The proper course of action is, I have power because of the name of Jesus, and His name, through faith in His name, has made me completely whole. Now we're talking faith. Now we're talking faith, because by His stripes we were healed, not going to be healed. It's already been done if we know the truth of it. God's already provided everything for us, but it is appropriated by faith. You know, we think about a thief. We're getting close on our time here. I want to talk about a thief for a minute. You know, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But listen, based on what Peter said, faith in His name is the issue now. It's not really a matter of power. It never was a matter of power. God's power compared with demonic power is not even comparable. Okay, it's always been an issue of authority. That has now been solved. Jesus has the authority, whether you believe it or not. All authority has been given unto Him, and He has delegated that authority to us on planet Earth. So power is not the issue. Authority really is not the issue. That's been settled. What is the issue? It's faith. Faith is the issue. Faith in His name is the issue now. Peter was not a perfect man. I know for sure his doctrine wasn't perfect. He didn't, at the day that this miracle happened, he didn't even think Gentiles could be saved. I mean, and there were other things. But Peter was not a perfect man. That didn't stop him from operating in the authority. You want to know why? Jesus is a perfect man. The authority is in His name, not Peter's, not Gary's, not yours. The authority is in His name. The perfect man. Jesus is that perfect man. Last week, you know, truth is a person. Well, in a way, authority is a person too. Authority. Jesus, the man, the glorified God-man, the human seated at the right hand of the Father, the glorified human. I don't write me no letters, I know. But this, it had to be a human. And this is precisely why that authority is in His name and not in our own name. I'm going to say it again. The issue of authority has been settled. Jesus has it, whether you believe it or not. But whether you believe it or not has everything to do with the power that will be released on planet Earth. See, but a thief is still a thief. Jesus said the thief, talking about the devil, they come to steal, kill, and destroy. See, you know, laws don't really matter to thieves. It's illegal, thief, for you to break into my house. It's illegal. Everybody knows that, right? Thief, it's illegal for you to break into my house. That's the law. But as soon as you drive away, if they've picked your house, as soon as you drive off, they're going to break through the door and come right on in and steal, no matter what the law is. See? Laws don't really matter to thieves. It doesn't really matter to Satan either. They will steal, kill, and destroy until they are stopped by someone in authority. We have authority through faith in the name of Jesus. That is the truth. That is the truth about authority. It will never change. What can change, what can grow, is our faith in the name of Jesus. If you spend time with the Spirit of truth, and I'm talking in the Word, which is truth, and in praying, letting the Holy Spirit pray the mysteries through you, your faith will increase, because the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into all truth, including this truth about authority. See, God wants us to walk in the truth, not just, it's one thing to know it, it's another thing to walk in it. And I'm going to finish with 3 John verse 4. John wrote this to his friend, but boy, I can hear the voice of God here. God says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I want to say it a little different. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the authority given to them by the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. We have the authority. It is in His name. It's yours. Believe it. Walk in it. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye for now.